On World AIDS Day, organizations like ASTHO are raising awareness of HIV, combating stigma, and endeavoring to end the HIV epidemic. The theme of this year's World AIDS Day, which is December 1st, is Equitable Access, Everyone's Voice. We are joined by two guests from the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, who will speak about the federal Ending the HIV Epidemic Initiative and recent efforts to lift up community voices, as well as to ensure equitable access to prevention and HIV care. Representing HRSA's HIV AIDS Bureau, we are pleased to be joined by Associate Administrator Dr. Laura Cheever and Deputy Associate Administrator Heather Houck. Hello, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am really excited to speak on this topic just because I believe that it touches everyone and we'll be so excited to see an end to this epidemic. So what is the Ending the HIV Epidemic Initiative? What is so innovative about it? Laura?
So the federal Ending the HIV Epidemic Initiative began in 2020 to achieve the goal of reducing new HIV infections in the United States to less than 3,000 per year by 2030. And that 3,000 number comes from the WHO in terms of ending the epidemic. The initiative currently focuses on 48 counties, Washington, D.C., and San Juan, Puerto Rico, where 50% of new infections have occurred, and seven states with substantial rural burdens, with the additional expertise, technology, and resources needed to end the epidemic in the U.S. Through HRSA's Rhyme with HIV AIDS program and the HRSA-funded Health Center program, the agency is playing a leading role in helping to diagnose, treat, prevent, and respond to end the epidemic. And those are the four pillars I'll talk about in just a minute. So HRSA's Ryan White program provides a comprehensive system of HIV care and treatment that serves more than half of all the people with diagnosed HIV in the U.S. That's more than 500,000 people. So we really are well positioned to work on making sure that we are diagnosing and treating people. Our program and the Ryan White program specifically is focusing on linking people to HIV who are either newly diagnosed or diagnosed but not currently in care to essential support care and treatment services that are needed to really engage them actively in healthcare. We continue to also provide support services such as mental health services, substance use services, and housing, which we know help reduce disparities for people with HIV and enable them to live long and healthy lives. What's really innovative about the program is that within the Ending the HIV Epidemic Initiative, we are leveraging scientific advances in HIV prevention, diagnosis, and treatment and care, and providing expertise across the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So in this initiative, it's really working closely together within HRSA, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Indian Health Services, the National Institutes of Health, the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Health, and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. So we have made a tremendous amount of progress in the last 40 years in HIV prevention, care, and treatment, as well as LGBTQIA and racial and ethnic minority communities. We know that they still are both LGBTQIA and racial and ethnic minority communities are disproportionately affected by the HIV epidemic, and we have significant health disparities that we need to continue to address. So in the EHE initiative, we are looking to develop and implement innovative strategies to make sure we're reaching people who are currently not in care and really engaging them differently, doing things differently in order to encourage people to access medical care, medications, and achieve viral suppression. So we are really excited, even when we look at the first few months of the initiative, that we've been able to really implement some evidence-informed delivery models.
That is fantastic. This initiative just seems like it's really going to help. So what progress has HRSA made so far in implementing the initiative?
So we're very excited that in the first year of the initiative, which was fiscal year 2020, we, HRSA, were able to award around $63 million to 60 current Rhyme White HIV AIDS program recipients. And the Health Center program was able to award $54 million to 195 health centers with service delivery sites in all of those geographic locations that Dr. Cheever just talked about that are part of the EHE initiative. Obviously, the funding to the current Ryan White Part A and Part B recipients is really for HIV care and treatment services. The funding for the HRSA-funded health centers is to expand HIV prevention and treatment, including, importantly, pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP-related services, outreach, and care coordination. So that's really, you know, what we've been able to do in that first year of funding. And we're really excited that despite the challenges that are posed by the COVID-19 pandemic, our HRSA recipients have made significant progress towards implementing their EHE activities. So for example, for our HIV AIDS Bureau recipients, these EHE activities have included developing administrative and service delivery infrastructure, engaging community members and new partners, and delivering comprehensive services to clients, and really focusing on linkage to care and re-engagement activities. As Dr. Cheever just indicated, we're focusing on people who are newly diagnosed or who have fallen out of care and need to be re-engaged in care. So our recipients have focused on establishing rapid re-engagement protocols after missed appointments or establishing low barrier clinics with high intensity support incentives and care coordination. We also have focused on rapid antiretroviral therapy programs. Those were implemented by many EHE recipients for clients who needed to be newly linked to care or re-engaged. And in addition, many of our recipients have been engaging peer navigators and community health workers, people with lived experience, to help clients navigate their HIV care and general health system. So as a result of all of those innovative efforts and changes in the service delivery system to be more responsive to people's needs, people who are newly diagnosed or need to be re-engaged, from March of 2020 through December of 2020, our EHE-funded service providers provided HIV care and treatment services to nearly 19,500 people who were either newly diagnosed or re-engaged in HIV care. In addition, in our health center funded, in our HRSA-funded health center program in 2020, there were 2.4 million visits for HIV tests, and they provided more than 50,000 people with access to PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. So again, despite the challenges of COVID-19, during this period of time, we have been extremely pleased with our recipients' ability to really start to implement in a very robust way the EHE initiative.
That is truly impressive. 63 million and then 19,000 people. So thank you so much for that. Now, this program involves partners at the federal, state, and local levels. What role do ASTO members and their agencies play in ensuring the initiative's success?
This is Laura. So that's a great question. I think there are several important roles that ASTO members and their agencies play. Certainly at the base, this is a public health endeavor to end the HIV epidemic. So it's core that we have those people responsible for public health critically involved. Since states have access to data on who is most affected by HIV, ASTO members and their agencies play a large role in making sure we are reaching the people and communities who need HIV care and treatment the most. Another important piece is community engagement. This is really a central component to state EHE implementation plans. EHE jurisdictions that have substantial rural or urban populations are both engaged in this initiative. So ASTO members and their agencies can really help support, engage, and nurture partnerships at the state, local, and community level, both in the rural states that are part of EHE as well as the metropolitan areas. Building on these partnerships and networks can help to ensure states and jurisdictions are reaching those most affected by the HIV epidemic and really starting to better understand what are the barriers experienced by people with lived experience. ASTO members and their agencies also provide counsel and expertise on designing health systems that promote health equity and can show how health systems that address health disparities can strengthen health systems overall. HIV is essentially an epidemic in the United States with huge health disparities, both on who is most at risk for HIV and in terms of treatment outcomes. Lastly, ASTO members and agencies continue to serve as intermediaries for communicating important information about HIV prevention, care, and treatment to their colleagues and their communities.
So let's touch a little bit more on the community engagement that you were speaking on. How is HRSA engaging communities to drive progress in the space?
So this is Heather. So the Runway HIV AIDS program has a long history of community engagement, as the requirement to engage people with lived experience in planning and program development is actually embedded in the Runway statute. So we, HRSA, have carried or brought that tenet of community engagement into the Ending the HIV Epidemic initiative to meet the goals of EHE. And that's because, you know, we truly believe that our collective success depends on how well communities are engaged in the planning, development, and implementation of HIV care and treatment strategies that meet the needs of their own communities. So in order to sort of foster that level of community engagement this year in 2021, we actually hosted, in partnership with our health center program colleagues, our regional office colleagues, as well as our CDC colleagues, 16 virtual EHE listening sessions, which were done by region. And those were engaging state and local health departments, community health centers, community organizations serving people with HIV, primary care offices, AIDS education and training centers, and people with lived experience. So across those 16 regional virtual listening sessions, we had more than 1,900 people participate in those sessions. And they were incredibly robust, and the feedback that we heard and that was provided during the sessions will help us shape and refine and guide our EHE strategies moving forward. We also concurrently develop tools and leadership training to people with HIV. So we have efforts that support ways for people from the community to provide services within their community to engage people into care and treatment. And then additionally, we do have an expectation that our recipients work with people with lived experience and communities. And, you know, that's not only part of the Ryan White program, but we've made it part of the EHE program because we want them to engage their communities through planning councils, planning bodies, consortia, integrated planning groups, and community advisory boards. So there's lots of opportunities for community engagement throughout the program. And we really are, again, making that a core foundational element of the work that's being done in EHE.
Now, were there any innovations during the COVID-19 pandemic that can be applied towards ending the HIV epidemic?
Obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic was extremely disruptive to HIV care and treatment, but it also forced us to find new ways to do our work and really drove a tremendous amount of innovation. Many of the innovations that we adopted during COVID are very applicable towards ending the epidemic as we move into the future. An example of that is many recipients embrace technology to implement EHE. This includes things like telehealth and telemedicine services, which have been shown in some instances to really better engage some people that were not fully engaged in care. We move very quickly to remote work for staff, which has provided some increased flexibilities and a better work-life balance for some. Many of our jurisdictions purchased internet-ready devices for their clients to better engage in telemedicine and provided a virtual training for staff, providers, peer navigators, and community health workers. Another big innovation that existed prior to the COVID-19 pandemic but wasn't really well implemented was self-testing. So the ability for CDC and others to send tests to patients' home for them to do their own either HIV or STD testing and then send it back into their providers really accelerated our ability to do things like PrEP. Recipients also started to deliver more in different types of services during the pandemic, including how they delivered a food bank or home-delivered meal programs, emergency financial assistance, and housing assistance. Really, with some of the COVID resources, our recipients were able to do those in new and different ways that better met the needs of their clients. Also, for us within the HIV/AIDS Bureau, we reassessed our program policies and guidance to identify new ways to reduce both recipient and client burden and help with service delivery. Examples are that we really encourage people to find ways to extend medication refills from the traditional 30 days to 90 days. Also, we really promoted home delivery of medication, which has helped people avoid some of those missed doses that occur when people don't get to the pharmacy on time. We also strongly recommended flexibilities around eligibility and recertification for the Ryan White program that we've now gone on to really memorialize in policy clarification notices going forward. So hopefully we'll have less disruptions in care around those issues around eligibility and recertification.
So I would love to hear from both of you on this next question. Let's look ahead to 2022. What are your top priorities and what excites you the most?
Yeah, so I'll start. This is Laura. So our top priority continues to link people with HIV to essential support, treatment, and care services so that they reach viral suppression. Because when a person with HIV reaches viral suppression, it means that'll help them live a near normal lifespan with this disease, as well as not sexually transmit HIV to their HIV negative partners. So it's really essential. In order to achieve that, we need to continue and develop innovative, evidence-informed interventions that connect and retain people to HIV care and build organizational capacity to address stigma and employ people with HIV. We heard that both of those issues are major barriers to ending the HIV epidemic. All the community engagements that we've done that Heather talked about and community engagements we've done in prior years, that stigma and issues around really engaging people with lived experience are critical to achieve our success. So really focusing on that, we have developed two new programs we launched this fall. One is called Ending Stigma Through Collaboration and Lifting All to Empowerment, also known as ESCALATE, and the ELEVATE programs. So ELEVATE was designed with the goal of reducing stigma for people at multiple levels, at the healthcare delivery level, at the individual client level, and at the organizational level. The program really aims to increase cultural humility in care and treatment settings and focus on improving organizational readiness and capacity to employ people with HIV. The ELEVATE program supports leadership and representation of people with lived experience in the Ryan White planning process. Both of these programs are available at targethiv.org. You can search for ELEVATE and ESCALATE there to find out more about them. They both offer trainings and technical assistance that can be provided at different levels, so jurisdictions that are interested can see how to apply to be part of those programs.
I think there are a couple of other things that we're definitely excited about that we think are going to make a significant contribution to the EHE initiative efforts. One is we launched our best practices compilation in October of this year. And this compilation is really a central location for Ryan White program-funded programs to share their innovative strategies to bring people into care, keep them engaged in care, and improve their health, which obviously reduces new HIV infections. It is an effort to promote knowledge sharing between Ryan White HIV/AIDS program recipient and subrecipients, and provides access to new and innovative strategies that improve outcomes for our clients. This is really an outgrowth of us wanting to lift up the best practices and the evidence-informed interventions that our recipients have been implementing that work in their communities and make them more broadly available across the program. It's an ongoing endeavor, and we're very excited to see what new and emerging intervention strategies we can continue to add to this compendium, which is also available at the targethiv.org website. And then the last example we'll use about for things that we're excited about is our Ryan White HIV/AIDS program Compass Dashboard. It's a new user-friendly interactive data tool which allows people to visualize the reach and impact of the program, as well as the outcomes among the clients served. So the dashboard provides users with an ability to view national, state, and metropolitan area level data, and to explore our Ryan White HIV/AIDS program client characteristics such as age, housing status, race and ethnicity, and health outcomes such as viral suppression and retention care. So the goal of the Compass Dashboard is to increase data transparency and allow people to easily interact with the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program data to inform their decision making. And again, available at the targethiv.org Ryan White HIV/AIDS program Compass link.
Thank you so very much. I mean, that is all very exciting. And the Compass Dashboard just sounds interesting and that it will be so helpful. So thank you both so much for taking the time to chat with us today. This is such important work, and we look forward to seeing what HRSA has to do in the future as well.
Thank you for having us.